You're listening to a podcast of APA Compass, the Pacific Northwest's only Asian Pacific American public affairs radio program. APA Compass airs at 9 a.m. on the first Friday of every month at www.kboo.fm, and our archives are downloadable at kboo.fm/APA Compass. Join our Facebook page, APA Compass Radio, or follow us on Twitter. If you'd like to contact us, we can be reached at apacompass@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to APA Compass on KBOO. I'm Sarika Mehta, and today I'm featuring an interview with Zabao Tran, more commonly known as GB Tran. GB is the author and illustrator of the graphic novel Vietnam America, A Family's Journey. GB's work has been honored by a number of organizations, including the Society of Illustrators 2011 and the Library Journal's Top 10 Graphic Novels of 2011. I caught up with GB at his studio in Brooklyn, New York back in July. GB spoke a little bit about growing up in various corners around the country, including North Carolina, Arizona, and finally New York. His first trip to Vietnam occurred as an adult, and he found himself negotiating language choices on his sickbed.
My parents did raise me to speak Vietnamese for as long as possible. So basically until five, Vietnamese was my native language until I started going to school and suddenly English took over. And as I continued growing up, of course, I used less and less Vietnamese in the household to this point right now where I can basically read a menu in Vietnamese and that's all I can do. But when I went back to Vietnam for the first time, what was amazing was certainly for the first couple of weeks, I was totally out of my element. But the craziest thing happened near the end of the trip, which I feel happens to all of us when we go to a developing third world country, is that you get really sick at some point because of what you've been eating. And at one point during the delirious spell, when I was thinking, I suddenly wasn't thinking in English anymore. I was thinking in Vietnamese. And I remember like it was such an amazing moment because I was at least had enough clarity to realize like how weird it was that suddenly I was speaking in Vietnamese. That was kind of the cap of this transition where even in conversation, although I still had a really bad accent, I was suddenly using vocabulary where I thought, well, how could I possibly know how to say X, Y, or Z in Vietnamese? So I feel like I believe that some of that was still buried deep within me from my childhood, from my parents trying to raise us to speak exclusively Vietnamese until, you know, I was 4 or 5 or whatever. And it finally came to the surface after spending enough time in Vietnam. So...
In fact, the content of his book, Vietnam America, are from interviews with his own family, which were conducted in Vietnamese. The crucial part of this is that he had to manage these interviews before forgetting his Vietnamese.
Of course, all of Vietnam America, at least 99% of Vietnam America, is through interviews with family and friends. And predominantly all those interviews are in Vietnamese. So really the biggest challenge was as soon as getting those interviews after returning to the States was transcribing them. Before my Vietnamese comprehension completely disappeared. Because, you know, when you're there, you understand a lot more. But when you come back, like literally every day, I could understand less and less. It was just all slowly slipping out of my mind again. So I felt like there was totally like this clock ticking down, being like, look, you got to listen to the, you know, hundreds of hours of interviews and transcribe them before you don't understand any of them. You know, and even now, like I think a few weeks ago, I tried listening to an interview and I didn't understand a single thing. Even the words that I was saying in the interview, I didn't understand.
The development of this book required interviewing members of his family beyond just language. There is a lot of pain on each page, represented by powerful illustrations and deliberate word choice. I wondered how GB's family felt about having their stories out in the open and for public view.
Well, that's because they didn't know. It was going to be made it a lot easier. My parents knew, but... I couldn't just go up to my mom and dad and start asking them all these nosy questions. If you read the book, this isn't a spoiler for anybody who might want to read the book, but in the book, I revealed that I was very ignorant and I didn't really care about knowing about my family. So when I started asking questions to my parents directly, like they were a lot more hesitant to talk. What I found that I had to do was then actually start questioning not them, but their brothers and their sisters and their parents and my siblings, people who were further away and felt more free to just talk about their memories. And then once I got those stories, you know, I would then go back to my mom and my father. To my parents, I feel that showed a genuine interest in me wanting to know more, and it allowed them to, it loosened up their tongue and let them talk more about it. But to make sure to answer your question, I didn't tell my extended family that this was going to be a project. I just asked them a bunch of questions, and they were happy to talk about it because, you know, who doesn't enjoy just kind of kicking back and being nostalgic, I guess.
And since the publication and success of the book, I did wonder about GB's family and how their relationships changed.
When the book came out, I got the occasional email from family saying congratulations, and that's, you know, I think the overall feeling is they're really happy that I did it. I don't know how much of the material they agree with or disagree with. I'd like to think that our relationships with their family, especially with our siblings, as we grow older, hopefully they're continuing to evolve, and they're not just the same way that we were when we were like kids beating each other up. I don't know how much of that change I can equate to the book coming out, honestly. Because once again, just like I mentioned, we don't really talk about those things. But I can definitely sense more of a change in my parents with the book coming out. Certainly my relationship with them. And not necessarily, I'm not saying like, you know, for the better. I mean, overall, yes, for the better. But there's definitely some idiosyncrasies about a relationship that's kind of altered because of the book's out now. Because, I mean, the book is mainly about my mom and my father. Mm-hmm. Like, my siblings are in it, but quite tangentially. Mm-hmm. So for them, I think it's a lot easier for me to see the change resulting from the book in my parents, since that's basically, it was about them.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to APA Compass on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. I'm Sarika Mehta, and this is an interview with GB Tran, author and illustrator of the graphic novel, Vietnamerica, A Family's Journey. GB's father had once considered pursuing a path in art and architecture. His own mother did not approve of this path, and this generational divide was again repeated when GB himself wished to pursue art. He explained the irony and complexities in their relationship in light of the story behind the graphic novel.
You know, it's weird. I totally remember this process of the research, because it took a couple years, countless trips to Vietnam, to Toronto, to Texas, Florida, Arizona, wherever, all over the place. But the entire time while interviewing, like, I felt completely detached to their response. I mean, I'd hear like a crazy story and be like, wow, that's really wild. But it didn't really resonate with me on a very deep level until I actually started drawing the story. It didn't resonate with me on that deep level until I sat down and started trying to coalesce all these fragments into a singular story. And so, and by that, giving everything much more weight, because everything started to build on each other emotionally about the decisions that people did and the results from that that would lead to these other decisions with bigger consequences that would lead to even bigger decisions with giant consequences. And it wasn't until I put it into a singular narrative that it started really affecting me emotionally. And that's when it started being an awful thing to work on. But I mean, necessary, because at that point I had to get all the stories out of my head. And the only way I could do was to put it on paper. So it was also cathartic too. Okay, well, this is kind of a spoiler if anyone hasn't read the book yet. But going back to what you're saying, he was pursuing fine art as a career in Vietnam, and he was investing all his free time to it. And he actually had his big breakthrough just a couple months before my parents had to leave Vietnam. So that totally derailed his art career. And of course, when he came to the States, it was just basically finding a job and working, keeping a roof over the head, keeping food on the table. So he didn't really get to paint anymore. And now that he's retired, you know, fast forward 30, 35 years later, and he's retired, and now he has all the time he can to paint. But when you haven't done something you've loved for that long, like, how, I can't even imagine, how do you even return to it? That was by far the most emotional, shattering revelation that I made, that I realized while working on this project, was like being the same age as my father was when he basically lost it all. And I can't even to this day, I can't even wrap my mind about how that would have happened to me. Like, if I was working on Vietnamerica, and like right when the book was done and ready to go publish, something happened that I could not do comics or art or illustration anymore for the next, you know, 35 years, or, and the book never came out or something like that. So in the way, I feel like hopefully this book coming to fruition is kind of like a completing a journey that started with him, you know. But like I said, that all sounds totally pompous and ridiculous. And like, keep in mind, that's the filter of a son talking about his dad. Like, so
was it a little odd to be drawing members of your family? I mean, I imagine your work is a little bit separate from your personal life, but this was very heavily woven in. Yeah. So how did it feel to draw your family and your extended family and grandparents and their experiences?
It was great fun, actually. I think I wasn't so concerned with drawing them in a way that looked exactly like them based off of photographs, because the way I draw isn't about any sense of like photorealism or hyperrealism or anything like that. What was more important to me was to just get their characters down. And if that meant by kind of exaggerating my dad's posture or, you know, my mom's like behavior, then that's the way I was trying to capture their character. And in that sense, it was really, really fun. It was really, really fun to try to minimalize them. And when I say minimalize, I don't mean like make them flat characters, but minimalize their characteristics so that they're so quickly identifiable, whether they're 60-year-olds or 6 years old, because the book covers their entire life. So that was really, really fun. Yeah. And really the only criticism I got was from my mom, which after she saw the book was like, "You didn't draw me as pretty as I actually was."
Backtracking a little bit, how did you conceive of the idea and inspiration for this book?
This project came to me out of nowhere, actually. My first trip back to Vietnam, which we talked about earlier, was in 2001. And during that time, I just went along and, okay, I'll postpone adult responsibilities for another 2 months and just travel. So it wasn't with the intention of learning anything. It was just to travel. So I went and I kept a sketchbook, which I always kept a sketchbook. And I wrote down a lot of things during the trip, just like hearing little snippets of their lives and in conversation when they were just, you know, chatting with their friends, their brothers and sisters in a cafe late at night. And I'd be sitting in the corner and I'd hear some crazy story like about how my uncle talking to my mom, his sister. "Oh, remember when you were a kid and we had to run and hide in caves because the French were bombing our village?" And I'd be like, "What? What was that?" You know, or my dad would be having beers with his oldest friend late at night, and they'd be joking about how he was like, "Oh, do you remember that time you were thrown in prison for 3 months and beaten up and like and tortured?" I'm like, "What?" At the time, like, I did learn about crazy things that happened to my family, but I didn't know I was going to do anything with these stories. I just wrote them down in my sketchbook because I didn't want to forget them. For several years, suddenly I paid a lot more attention when anecdotes about my family's past came up, like, you know, during Christmas dinner or during like a Thanksgiving gathering or something. And I just kept taking notes. And the fateful moment was fall of 2006. A mutual friend introduced my work to a literary agent. And he said to me, "Look, if you can only tell one more story before you die, what would it be?" I thought about all these weird anecdotes I'd been hearing for the last 5 years. And it's like, I think I'd want to try to find, like, discover and tell the story of my parents and how they came to the States.
Well, after the success of Vietnam America, what is next on the horizon for you? Are we working on new projects?
I'm working on a project pitch right now, but is actually in collaboration with another person. And it is a story of a Rwandan genocide survivor in his search for what happened to his sister and correspondingly his pursuit of justice for what happened to his sister. So just more happy, fun time material, just like Vietnam America. It's going to be a laugh riot. But I love it. Yeah. So, and then I have another project that is going to explore the layers of immigration a little bit more, and that's still very early in its stages.
Well, thank you so much for supporting APA Compass and being on our show.
No, I mean, thanks for coming out. Thanks for taking the time and chatting.
I've been speaking with G.B. Tran, author and illustrator of the graphic novel Vietnam America, A Family's Journey. You can learn more about the artist at his website, gbtran.com. I'm Sari Gametha, and you're listening to APA Compass on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland.